Okay. So I'm hoping that you all have a copy of the PowerPoint. Were you able to get that up on your machines okay?
Yes.
Good. So what we'll do is, you know, I'm assuming that you're looking at a PowerPoint presentation that I created, and then I'm going to go through and talk about the different slides. We have here an hour. There aren't enough slides to cover a whole hour, so please, if you have a question, don't hesitate to stop and interrupt me and say, gosh, I know, what are you talking about or something. This is a very casual presentation today. Let me start by telling you a little about me and why somebody from the Career Center is doing a talk on customer service. Besides the fact that, of course, you are all our customers, I come out of the corporate sector. I've been a senior consultant in the corporate sector for almost 20 years. In that role, I've been a professional trainer. And one time, for example, I was even a national sales manager for a software company. So I've been in a variety of roles that have given me a knowledge base about customer service that caused me to be asked to do this presentation. Now, I want to make it clear that each of you has a unique situation, and you have unique customer service needs. And it's impractical to try to present one presentation to cover all of those needs. So, of course, we're going to talk a little bit more generically about the subject of customer service. And it is my hope that you'll leave this training today with some new ideas, some things you might want to try. Maybe you're the person to implement those ideas. Maybe you need to take them to other people. But the goal is to provide new information on customer service that will kind of get you thinking. Well, let's start then with a PowerPoint. And what I'll do is I'll just say next slide when I'm going to go to the next slide. So we'll go to the slide number 2. Satisfied customers not. Now, you know, the old days we used to use that word not a lot. I guess the point here is that customer service is not really about having satisfied customers. And it's kind of an interesting situation. We have done a lot of research in industry about having satisfied customers. And yet I'm saying to you, that's not really what you're striving for. Because, you see, a satisfied customer is only one that is getting what they expect to get from you. And as it says here, customers really expect to be abused. They expect things to happen and things to go wrong. And so they're satisfied because it's no worse than normal. So I would submit to you that the goal is not satisfied customers at all, and that if you only have satisfied customers, you're not really serving the true needs of your customers. You see, to me, customer service is not about the quality of your product or service. It's about how well your product or service works in relationship to the customer's needs. You see, true customer service relates to all of the customer's needs and expectations. So you interact with a customer. They ask you about a particular product or service. Well, where are their issues? Where are their problems? What's going on that's causing them to be needing additional customer service? I'm sure you all have found that more often than not, the issue is complicated. It's never simple. It may just be that something isn't working, but more often it's that it's not working because of other factors that are taken into account. So having satisfied customers is not the goal. Your service is simply living up to what they expected. And, I mean, customers, they expect, you know, cold food. Think the last time you stopped at a gas station and went into the bathroom, you know, dirty bathrooms, late deliveries, rude service. Satisfied customers simply means that the abuse they're getting isn't worse than they expected. And the problem is that satisfied customers is really a crisis waiting to happen. Because if your staff only has as a goal to keep the customer satisfied, then you could expect that at any minute one of your customers will become dissatisfied and blow up. Also, satisfied customers really don't have any loyalty to the company. They're simply buying from you until they can wait for something better to come along, better service, better product, different way of presenting it, whatever causes them to buy something else. So because they're just simply satisfied. They're not happy. They're not enthralled. And I guess to ask yourself about how that applies to you in your life. What level of service are you receiving from the companies that you buy from? I mean, are you easily satisfied? What level of standard is acceptable to you? If we all want a booming business, we have to establish a level of service far beyond just what is expected by the customer. And in order to get that, you have to go about establishing policies that do that. Policies, people start thinking about the cost of money. And I guess I would say to you, rather than focus on the cost of customer service, you really need to think about what it costs you not to provide good customer service. Now, the first thing we have to do in providing excellent customer service, let's go to slide 2, is to, on Beyond Satisfied here, you must have a vision for what you want that customer to experience. And that vision must be centered on how the customer will use your product or service. So this means you need to write a customer service statement. And you need to create this vision of perfection centered on the customer. Imagine perfection centered on how the customer will use your product or service. What would the perfect organization in your field look like? How would your organization serve the customer? Now, anything is possible, but you have to have this vision in mind in order to deliver it. If you don't present that vision, it won't happen. Is something – can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I hear this beeping in my ear, and I don't know what it is.
Oh, I had to click over.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
We good? All right. So you have to have this vision in your mind in order to deliver it. And then what you're going to do is to take that vision and co-mingle it with the needs of the customer, the stated needs of the customer, in order to be able to come up with a day-to-day operation that actually works. So how are you going to serve the customer? Let's go to the next slide. And as it says here in the third slide, you have to add to that what the customer says that they want. And you're going to go on beyond just what is expected to what that service could be like. Let's go to the next slide. Now, there's an interesting problem. In a lot of companies today, the companies are so hungry for business that they think every single person should be their customer. But the fact of the matter is that's not the case. Because there are customers who want things that are just impractical to deliver within the context of your operations. And really, that's part of why you have to have this vision. You have to have the vision for customer service so that you can define the boundaries, the barriers, what's possible and what's not. You may have people who call and complain about things. And, you know, it's amazing. I'm sure you've all experienced this situation where you spend a huge amount of time trying to make a customer happy, going way beyond the typical service that you provide. You spend a significant amount of time solving this one person's problem. Now, I'm not saying that's not good to do, but I am saying that you should stop and think about, is that practical? Because that's taking away from serving other customers at that time. Yes, it's important to learn what the customer wants. You have to ask them. You have to ask them and listen to closely to what they say and what they don't say. Now, remember, these are just satisfied customers, though. These are not your happy, exalted customers. These are satisfied customers. And your vision has to go beyond what they say they want. So often a customer, you say, well, gee, how could we provide good customer service? And they'll give you some answers, two or three answers. And you say, great, we can do that. What else? You know? But it's this idea that you really can't serve every customer. So you have to focus on your vision, and you have to be willing to refer those customers who want something you can't deliver to somebody else. You can't be everything to everybody. Now, rather than give those customers that demand your extra time and attention, And, of course, what happens? That diverts your staff from their true vision. These customers should be told politely that, you know what, they want is not a part of your customer service package. And you have to focus on your vision of service. The fact is, some customers would be better served by other suppliers. It's not your responsibility to meet the whim of every customer. So recognize, if you look at the national leaders in our companies today, the fact is that if you look at their companies very carefully, they provide service within a well-defined window of products and services. And the fact is, there's many things they could do, but they don't. You go to the grocery store. What makes one grocery store better than another? Is it the kind of cart they have? Do they take your groceries to the car? Do they help you put them in the car? What is it that makes a difference? So you're trying to define your window of customer service in order to best serve those. Let's go to the next slide. So what is the role then of policies, procedures, and systems? Well, you take your vision of what customer service is, and then you go about deciding how you're going to implement that. You see, excellent customer service results from having in place policies, procedures, and systems that differentiate you from your competition, that really strive to achieve the vision that you have. Now, certainly you're going to look after customer needs whenever possible, and you're going to give your staff the responsibility and the opportunity to use their own initiative in bringing about that change in serving those customers. Now, let's think about it for a moment. Who is the customer? Because you have to realize that everyone who is affected by your products or service, everyone down the line, is your customer. Shippers, buyers, manufacturers, consumers, and your vision has to include everyone touched by your product or service. So if you work in healthcare, is it just the patient coming in? Well, think about your department, your role. Who else is your customer? Are there doctors and nurses and buyers and suppliers? Are they all your customers? How can you meet the needs of all of your customers, not just the person that you recognize as your customer? Now, what you want to do is you want to look at your organization as it is today. You want to establish some internal benchmarks. What is the service you're providing now? What would excellent customer service look like? You may even want to establish some way to track that, and let's call it an index of customer service. And you want to tie that directly back to your customer base. Look at each of those customers. What is it that they want? What do they need? And then you're going to evaluate your staff on their ability to serve the needs of that diverse customer base. Let's go to the next slide. So I'm on take care of your staff. Well, this is a really important piece of the puzzle. You know, it's interesting. The other day, I sat down with a company called Fastenal, and they make fasteners like screws and bolts. And I was intrigued to see that their vision statement, the first thing in their vision statement was take care of our employees. And I said, wait a minute, that's your first important goal, is to take care of your employees? Don't you want to take care of your customers first? And it was interesting, but their answer was, no, you know what? If we take care of our people, then our people will take care of our customers, which is just really almost a radical concept. But that's in their vision statement. So here we're saying, all right, how can we identify what our staff are doing now, and how can we support those efforts to provide excellent customer service? Maybe you all have, you know, an idea box, or you have some way to contribute suggestions and ideas. But it's not just contributing them. It's also being recognized for them and being rewarded for those ideas. You know, we've all seen those little suggestion boxes on walls and things with nothing in them. Or maybe you've put something in them and then you never heard back from somebody. You know, it sure dries up your creative juices if nobody ever says anything to you about it. So you need to encourage that kind of thinking. We all live in a diverse world, an ever-growing and changing world. And if we get stuck on doing business day to day the same way all the time, we really aren't being aware of the fact that our business is changing. So I'm encouraging you to look after the people, your people. Show them you appreciate their efforts, and especially their efforts to provide excellent customer service. Staff need to know that they're important, and they need to know that what they do and say and think really matters. Let's go to the next slide. Now, as a part of that, this means that you have to give your staff the responsibility and authority to act. If a customer comes and says, this is a problem, this product failed, well, you know, if they have to go through a whole long process of meeting that customer's needs, you know, that's not good customer service. This person needs to be able to say, oh, dear, that's too bad. Let's give you another one. You know, they need to be able to make the decision based on their best judgment. And then you need to support those decisions that they make. You know, if you would have made a different decision, fine. But right now is not the time to bring that up. Let's get that customer happy, satisfied, and out the door. And then let's talk about the alternatives that a person could do in those situations. It's you know, the very fact that you are all in this call shows that you come from organizations that value training. And understand that part of your role is to go back to those organizations and help them recognize where you need more training. And so being able to train people effectively is an important role. Because, of course, that training makes you feel valued, makes you feel that it's worth your time and trouble. Let's go to the next slide. Sorry about that. My computer died a second here. Okay, so now this business of the vision and how to deliver it. I'm on the one that says deliver your vision consistently. You know, it's interesting. Customers are pessimistic. We know that the majority of customers in the world, the majority of adults in America, are in fact more pessimistic than optimistic. And that's just a fascinating thing to me. 46% of adults in America are pessimists. And that means that they don't expect much, and they expect you to fail. And yet, when you can be consistent, when you can provide consistently excellent customer service, that builds credibility. However, that means that you must be consistent. You must deliver that product, that service every time. Now, one of the problems that many organizations have is that they try to do everything. You know, we've already touched on that. It's really not realistic to do everything for everybody. So decide what service you're going to provide and then strive to do that consistently and effectively, always with high quality. But don't take on things that you can't do until you've got what you say you're going to deliver consistent, you know, it's that whole idea. Consistency creates credibility. 80%, getting it 80% of the time is not enough. The majority of customers are pessimists, so they want you to be, the customers want to be able to rely on you. They want to know that you're going to do what you say every time, and you have to implement that customer service. So maybe it means you need to limit those areas of customer service in order to be able to be consistent. Once you are consistent, then you can begin adding on additional services and things that you do. Now, let's go to the next slide. So, this whole idea is that if you promise certain things and then you don't deliver, their expectations go down. Instead, you need to deliver high quality and instead drive those expectations up. So how can you establish systems and programs that train you to be effective time after time after time? Meet those expectations consistently. Next slide. Now, this is an interesting idea. Aim for 1% continuous improvement. And you say 1%. 1% isn't very much. But you see, what you're after here is to set up a way so that you can continue to evolve with the market, with your customer base. And if you aim for dramatic changes, then you're going to make changes that you can't keep up. And what you're trying to do is to stay with progress. And so aiming for 1% continuous improvement is something everyone can do. And realize that the policies you in place, they're not there to be barriers. They're there to provide a basis upon which to work from. And that's why ongoing improvement is what we're after, not just something different. Let's go to the next slide. Now, we're talking about a vision here, and this vision has to be flexible, but it's interesting to look at this. Flexibility defines what behaviors are delivered. So when we say this vision must be flexible, we're saying that you need to be flexible and adapt to the needs of the customer. And that consistency looks at whether you're doing it the same over and over again. Your vision has to adapt to the ever-going changes and needs of your customer. And that's why we differentiate here between flexibility and consistency. One looks at the behaviors. The other looks at the service. Next slide. All right, so what is customer service? Well, you know what? Customer service is problem solving. And you look at the statistics, there's a lot of different statistics. I'm sure you've all read things along the same line that you have a whole bunch of customers who like you, but the fact is they never say anything. They never say anything to you. They never say anything to anybody else. They're just those satisfied customers out there. However, that one disgruntled customer, boy, they tell 10 people. So having unsatisfied customers is a big problem for you. And therefore, your goal in customer service is to become a problem solver. You see, companies that are known for customer service, they have several things in common. First, they understand that customer service agents are first and foremost problem solvers. Customers don't call you because they like to talk. They call you because they've got a problem. And unhappy customers, that's lost sales one way or another. Maybe you lose the sale because they don't renew their order. Maybe it's because they tell everybody else, you know, and word gets around. The word that gets around, that's one of the things that kills you. The second thing is that customer service people understand that customers come in different personality types. Now, I would hope that your organization provides some kind of training on personality types, whether that's the Myers-Briggs or DISC or True Colors. There's lots of different kinds of personality systems out there, and we very much encourage you to get that kind of training as well, because you are going to do a better job if you know who that customer is, if you understand their personality, because their personality type will tell you their values, their perspective, and even their needs. So customer service isn't really about providing – I'm sorry, customer service is about providing personalized service. Think about the values and preferences of each customer. Now, there really isn't one way to treat all customers. You can't treat all customers the same. People say that. We're going to treat all of our customers the same. But you can't do that because you have different types of customers. Those customers have different personalities. They have different preferences, different values. Some customers like to talk about their family. Others may not. Some customers talk about what they do in their leisure time. Others may not. And what you want to do is to match your style to meet the needs of the customer. And you're the one who understands about the different types of customers you have. And if you have a customer who really likes to talk, fine. You can be a great listener. But if you have a customer who doesn't, then you need to cut to the chase, get the point, get the business done, and move on. And so you have to look at the different types of customers you have, their personality types. The third thing is that your staff have to care. Now, customer service people have to be the kind of people who are flexible and willing and kind and generous and considerate and all of those great positive attributes. And they have to be willing to do this without being prompted for that kind of behavior from a customer. Because when employees care, management cares, then customers get what they want and need, and serving them becomes a joy, a pleasure. The fourth thing about customer service essentials is that employees have to have the authority to make decisions. We've talked about that a little bit better. But you see, if your employees' hands are tied, if they have to get permission to do what is right, then the customer pays the price. Let's click onto the next slide. Do quality work. You see, the fifth key to effective customer service is to do quality work. Everything you have to present to your customer must be top-notch. From your business cards to your answering machine messages, make everything quality work. It has to be on time, within budget. You have to show your customers that you have the same high standards they do. Let's go to the next slide. Now, what I'm going to do is give you a series of tips. I said to you in the beginning that one of my goals was to try to give you some new ideas, some new things that you might want to try. So we've got a series of customer tips here. Now, the first tip is to make sure that everybody in your organization sees customer service as their primary job. In most organizations, there is some person responsible for customer service, and you have to help everybody understand everyone that interacts with a customer, whether the customer is a shipper, whether the customer is somebody walking in the retail store door. Who are those customers? And everybody has to see their job as customer service. Also, we are in a new era. For many years, I'm sure some of you have received training on consultative selling. Thank you. And now we're in a new era. So there was the era of consultative selling where everybody tried to become the consultant for their customer. And now we've gone into a new era where we realize that everybody is so busy that you have to establish a relationship with that customer. And so we're in a new era of learning who the customer is. It's the service era. And also we realize that customer service in a way is like tennis. You know, if you don't serve the ball well, you will not only lose that set, but you will lose that game. So from the very first interaction with your customer, that interaction needs to be a positive one. Let's go to the next slide. Keep your word. Well, you know, that's interesting. If you say you're going to do something, you need to do it. And this needs to become a part of your value. And yet we all know that things come up. Situations occur unexpected. You say, gosh, we'll get it to you tomorrow, expecting the delivery to show up tonight, and then it doesn't show up. Or the delivery shows up and the items weren't on that shipment. Things happen. What do you do? Well, you know what? You have a reputation, and you need to nurture your reputation, protect your reputation. Call the customer. Explain what happened. But here's the interesting thing. Find out what you could do to minimize their inconvenience. What could I do for you? I went to the mall the other day, and I was looking for a book. And I went into the bookstore, and they didn't have the book I was looking for. And the strangest thing happened. The salesperson said to me, "Well, you know what? Are you gonna be here a little bit? Are you gonna be in the mall a little bit?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "Well, listen, how about if you come back in 15 minutes, and I'll have that book for you?" And I said, "Really?" She said, "Oh, absolutely, I'll do that." And sure enough, I came back in 15 minutes and she had the book for me. And I said, "Oh, so what's, you know, this is going to cost me a bunch, right? You had to go buy it somewhere else and pay retail on this. And so now I'm going to have to pay retail plus your markup, right?" "No, I just paid exactly the jacket price of the book." And I said, "How can you afford to do that?" And she said, "Well, that's just part of our policy. So we provide outstanding customer service." And boy, I'll tell you, I was impressed. Today I'm going back to that store. All right, so let's go to the next slide. Now, this is an interesting idea. You all have customers and your customers have customers. So find out what it is that your customers do. Find out who they are. Keep a track of what your customers do, because you're going to run into situations where you're not going to be able to serve the needs of that customer, but you know what? Probably one of your customers can. So keep a track of who your primary customers are, what are their businesses, keep that contact information, and then refer your customers to your other customers. And then that interesting last point there, follow up, find out what happened, send them an email, make sure that they know that they got that business because you referred them, because certainly showing that you're supporting their business, they'll support your business. Let's go to the next slide. Now, this is an interesting idea. In many cases, your products or even your services have a life cycle. Well, that means that at some point in time, that product or service is going to have to be renewed or replaced. Well, write those down. Write down those life cycles. And then go back to your customers just towards the end of that life cycle and say, hey, I see that, you know, your vacuum cleaner is about to die. Well, let's get you a new one. Because what you don't want to have happen is you don't want that product to fail or stop working and then have them go out shopping. Well, you know what? We all hate to shop. I mean, customers love to buy, but they hate to be sold. So it's not an issue that they don't need a vacuum. It's that they want it right here, right now, and this serves their needs. So think about that. Customers love to buy, but they hate to be sold. Customers love to buy, but they hate to be sold. And so rather than put yourself where you're trying to sell something to the customer, think of yourself as somebody providing a need, a key need for that customer. Let's go to the next slide. Tip of the week. Now, this is an interesting idea. We all have answering machines these days. And go back, you know, tonight when your organization's closed, maybe call your answering machine and see what you say. You know, I'm amazed how many times I call somebody and they'll say, I'm on vacation, and I know perfectly well they're not on vacation. They just never change their answering machine. Think about what could you say in your answering message that might provide customer service, a tip of the week, something educational, something that would tell them about the great things going on within your organization, something that would build your credibility. So there's an idea. Let's go to the next slide. Now, here's an interesting one, 5 keywords. So the words are, thank you, see you tomorrow. Now, isn't that interesting? Thank you, thanks for coming, thanks for buying, thanks for letting us help you, see you tomorrow. Now, you know, maybe tomorrow isn't the next day, maybe tomorrow is simply the next time, but even still, telling that customer that you value them and you want their service, that's the magic in those 5 words. So think about that. What are you saying to your customers when they leave your office, when they leave your organization? How could you change what you say to demonstrate that you value them? Let's go to the next slide. Now, convenience, that's an interesting concept here. Let's think about convenience as it relates to your organization. In what way are you providing a convenience to your customers? Could that be a different way to do payments? Could that be a different way to meet with them? Could it be some way to, you know, recognize them for their business? For example, the idea of gift baskets, you know. Do you give your best customers some kind of recognition? Are these Christmas cards, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, their birthday? Is there some way you recognize them for being good customers? Is there some way that you are promoting your business to them? The fact is, those kinds of gift baskets, those are all tax deductible. They're all a part of your marketing efforts. Think about how you want to do that. Are you in real estate? Gosh, a new home buyer basket would make sense. National Bosses Day, October 16th comes up. Send a basket for the person, the customer who's made the difference. There's a website, too, called Any Day. That is a great place to look. I don't have that What I will do is I have some of these ideas written up, and if you are interested in getting more information about these ideas, then I encourage you to email me, maxwellb@ecu.edu, and I'll be happy to send this information to you. So maxwellb@ecu.edu. Let's go to the next one. Know and use their name. Now, this is an interesting one. I'm sure most of you take credit cards. And, of course, the credit cards are valuable to you because of what they do. But have you also realized that there is an immediate connection between you and the customer? Gosh, if you even notice what their name is. You know, it's funny how often in a lot of places these days are asking to see your driver's license to verify that this is your credit card. And yet they don't use that knowledge about who you are. How hard would it be to say, oh, good to meet you, Mrs. Jones? You know, how hard would that be? Wouldn't be hard at all. And recognize that in this relationship era that we are in today, establishing that one-on-one relationship with your customer is critical. Well, here's a great way to begin doing that. Use your customer's names. Find out what their names are. Use that name in your interaction with them. Let's go to the next slide. Now, timing is often an important concept for people. What kind of situation do you have where you could use time to better serve you? Is there a guarantee that you could provide? Is there a way that you could better meet that need now, right now, while you're thinking about it? So it's, in a way, it's tied to convenience, you know. But think about time and specifically, how could time best serve you? Let's go to the next slide. Now, getting customer referrals, you know, we all rely on the good referrals, the referrals of our good customers. And it's really hard to get customer referrals. This goes back to that thing I said in the very beginning. You know, you have the one customer who has something bad to say, he goes out and tells 10 people. But those many, many satisfied customers, they don't really tell anybody. Well, how can you create a situation in which you can get them to give you referrals to other people who could use your product or service? So here's some four steps to kind of walk you through the process of getting those referrals. First, make sure that they feel good about what they bought, whether that was a product or a service. Make sure that they are happy, that this, in fact, is what they wanted, and that they're happy with it, that it meets their needs. Second, make sure that they feel good about the fact that they bought it, you know. That buyer's remorse issue, you know, we've all had that with cars. You buy a car and you say, oh, man, should I have bought that car? You know, you're worried about whether it's a lemon or not, you know. But make sure that they feel good not just about what they bought, but about the fact that they bought it. And if they don't, if there's something you can do to make life better, do it. Okay, stage two. Praise their decision to buy. Give them some recognition for the fact that they decided to buy. And a really important technique here is to point out something they did during the process that makes a difference, see? Because you want them to realize it's that business of people like to buy, but they don't like to be sold. See, make sure they realize this was their decision based on good, logical, sound decision. Now, it's funny for me to say that. Here I am suggesting that making a purchasing decision is a logical thing, when in fact we know it's not. It's an emotional decision. You can a good salesman will give you all kinds of logical reasons about why you should buy. But when it gets right down to it, the actual decision to make that purchase is an emotional one. And I want to point that out to you because the decision to accept that it was a good decision or being comfortable knowing that it was a good decision is also an emotional response. You know, you can present logical reasons why this was a good decision, but they have to feel good internally that it was the right decision to make at this time. So point that out, is what they did made this a good decision. Let's go to stage three. Now, here's an interesting idea, and some of you may already have a policy like this, and that is provide what you said you would provide and maybe just a little bit more. Is there some little thing that you could do that wouldn't be expected, that, you know, you're not contracted to do, but some little thing that you could do that would take this service just a little bit further? So think about that. What could you do that would be valuable to them beyond what they bought from you? And find out what that is. Now, the reason you do that, let's go to stage four, is because at that point, when you provide that little extra something, that's when they're going to say, oh, well, thank you. That's so sweet. You didn't have to do that. And right then is when you ask them for the referral. And it's that extra little piece. You've got to think about that. What could I do that they would recognize wasn't required, but then they would say, oh, thank you, because that's when you can hit them up for a referral. So who would you recommend we talk to offer this product or service to someone else? And here's the interesting thing. You know, you run into situations sometimes where your customers say, oh, well, that's a great idea. I'll go tell all my friends. And you know what? You don't know whether they ever do it, and you certainly don't know what it is they say because they've left. So understand that a referral is not your customers going and talking to their contacts on your behalf. A referral is you doing the talking. And so then we get into a thing called triangulation. You know, triangulation is kind of interesting. It's been around a long, long time. It was designed by a German Heidegger. Heidegger's triadic theory. Go look it up sometime when you're curious. And the fact is we all use the triangulation all the time. Think about when you were a kid. You went to your mom and you asked her for something and she said no. Well, what'd you do? You went to your dad, right? That's triangulation. Triangulating a third person into this triangle so that that third person will help me have a positive relationship with my next client. And that's why you want a referral and you want that person to allow you to use their name when you contact the person they referred you to, because that's triangulation. Let's go to the next slide. Now we're going to take a little look here at, and this is really our last thing, looking at dealing with angry customers. Now the fact is we all have them. We know that because things happen, things come up. But also it goes back to that idea that there are different types of people. You know, you provide a service or a product with a certain customer in mind, and yet there are other customers too that don't fit that perfect model of what the perfect customer is. And they come to you and they said, but that's not what I wanted. That's not what I expected. That's not what you were supposed to do. And you're going, what? That's exactly what I, you know, what my product or service was designed to do. And they're saying, but that's not what I want. So everybody gets angry customers. Now, the fact is, it doesn't really matter why they're angry. All that matters here is that this customer is angry. What matters, of course, is what you do about it. I've said to you already, the answer could be, you know what, I'm sorry, but we're just not able to provide that service to you. Let me give you a referral to somebody who can. Maybe you're going to refer them outside of your organization. But if they've already made the purchase from you, and then what can you do about it? So let's look at some specific steps. So this is a 15 stages, steps, if you will, of communicating effectively with that customer. First, ask them to take the time to tell you what's wrong. Say, so can you just take a few moments and tell me what's wrong? See, this is using active listening skills here. They tell you, then you pause, be silent for a few seconds. Now, here's an interesting thing. While they're listening, you've got to be active listening. And what you're listening for is a particular specific point that you think is a critical to this problem. And then you ask them more about it. So tell me about that. Now, all this time, you're going to use active listening skills. You're going to nod. You're going to, You know, use monosyllabic responding. Uh-huh. Okay. Sure. You know, things like that to keep them going. Now, I have people say, well, you can't do that over the phone. Oh, yes, you can. I mean, right now, you all can see the differences in my vocal inflection. You know, my energy level, you can feel that. So don't let the fact that your customer service is only by phone prevent you from thinking that you can't be empathic, you can't be energetic, you can't establish nonverbal communications over the telephone, because you certainly can. Number five, paraphrase to them what you heard. Now, this is interesting, and it's really a learned skill. What you're trying to do is you're trying to go back and say, okay, now let me make sure I've got it. Here's what I think I heard you say. And you tell them what you heard. And you give them a chance to say, yeah, that's right, or no, that's not right, that's not what I meant, here's what I meant. And it's interesting, but when you paraphrase what you heard, it's amazing how often the customer comes back and said, well, yeah, but that's not really what I meant. You see, because what you're trying to do here is you're trying to cut to the core issue, core problem. And a lot of customers, until they start trying to talk about it and get it out, they really can't get down to what the real issue is. You know, it might, in fact, be something that has nothing at all to do with your product or service. You know, they may have gotten out to the car and had a flat tire. You know, you don't know what's going on. So paraphrase back to them. Here's what I heard you say. Is that right? And take it from there. Now, this point number six here, remain neutral, is very important. You don't want to say, oh, yeah, sure, I believe you. You know, you need to be neutral. You know, you need to be neutral in your comments and your nonverbals. Even over the telephone, your nonverbals. Next slide. Now, the fact is that these customers came to you because they had a problem, right? And that tells you right there they're frustrated. And maybe you've had that customer who their frustration, they don't talk loudly, they don't get aggressive. You can feel their energy level. They're really upset. And so you've got to acknowledge, boy, you know, I can see how frustrated you are that this happened. You know, just acknowledging that level of frustration. You know, they didn't expect this. They didn't anticipate this. It's messed up things. I can appreciate your frustration. Now, when they're through venting and when you acknowledge their frustration, often they'll come back at you again. Oh, I am frustrated. I'm angry. I'm mad. You know, fine. Okay. Let them go. When they finally slow down, say, listen, give me a second. Give me a chance to tell you our side of the situation. Now, maybe they'll say, no, I just want it fixed. Well, you know what? That's part of the problem. You've got to go back to the active listening skill and notice that at any point in time here, if they're not willing to go on to the next step, then you're just going to back up. You're going to back up and say, all right, well, so I can appreciate you're really frustrated, and let them vent some more, you know. But when they're ready to hear your side, then tell it and tell them, okay, now look, here's where the problem occurred. It seems to me that here's where this became an issue for you. And so you're gonna raise that up. Does that seem reasonable to you? Tell me what your thoughts are about that. Let them respond to what you said. And once again, boy, I can see how that made you frustrated. I can see how frustrated you are. And, you know, I am so sorry that happened. You know, express regret that happened. Next slide. Then you're going to move to the next stage. Now, you realize, of course, that what we've done is we've focused in on the primary key piece. They may have told you 10 different things that were wrong. And what you're going to try to do is you're going to focus on one specific point. And really what you're aiming for is one point that you can actually do something about. Because there may be things that are involved here that you have no control over, you really can't change. Well, don't pick those. Pick something that you can actually do something about. And now you're going to say, okay, let's look at what it is that we can do to get this problem corrected. And so then you say, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. Tell them, here's what I'm going to do. I will personally take responsibility for seeing that this is what we're going to do. And do it. And what it doesn't say and should say there is, and make sure that you get back to the customer and make sure that they they recognize that the action that you took met that need. You know, you're not going to try to meet all of their needs. You're going to try to meet the need that you said you would meet. So do it. So I hope that gives you some thoughts. I want to open, we'll go to the last slide here, and I want to open the line up for any questions that you might have about anything that we talked about or anything that we can help you with. Are there any questions? Well, hearing none, I won't keep you on the phone any longer. You see our website down at the bottom of that last slide. My email address is maxwellb@ecu.edu. If you'd like a copy of this, of the text of this talk, feel free to email me and I'll send that to you. So I want to thank you all for your time today, and I hope this was useful to you, and I hope you walk away from here with at least one good idea that you can use. So have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. All righty.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.